Turning your Bibles tonight to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. I want to just read one verse tonight, and that is the fifth verse. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we ask you to continue to bless in this service. We thank you for the songs that we've sung, the songs that we've heard, the prayers that have been prayed. And now we just ask your help as we look into your word to use it to speak to our hearts. We thank you for the depth of it and for the riches of it. And we pray that you would take us for just a few moments into your heart and into the depths of your love for us. We thank you for this time together, and we pray that you would speak to our hearts now. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, for a few moments, we want to come back and pursue a couple of thoughts, actually really just one thought, I guess you would call it, that we didn't have time to get to this morning. And what we want to think about centers around this first sentence of Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." Those are words that I believe, and I hope that we'll see tonight, that they're words that convey the intensity of the love of God for the people of this world. When I read these words, what comes to mind are several passages of Scripture. One of them is Ephesians chapter 2. And if you'd like to turn there, you can. It's the only one of the passages that come to mind that we're actually going to look at, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." It's good to stop right there and take stock of what we've just read. These first three verses are a description of every lost person that has ever lived on this earth. If we're saved tonight, it is a description of our condition before we were saved. If you are lost, then it is the description of your current condition before God. We see in verse 1 that we're dead spiritually, dead in trespasses and sins. In verse 2, we walked according to the course of this world. And the course and the direction of this world is according to the prince of the power of the air, the devil. He is the god of this world. The whole world lieth in the wicked one. And we walked according to the course of this world. We walked according to the prince of the power of the air because we are of our father, the devil. That's what the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 44. "And the lust of our father we will do." That's the same Spirit that now worketh, present tense, in the children of disobedience. If you're lost tonight, the spirit of your father, the devil, is working in you to do his will, to do his desires. In verse 3, we see that this is where we all had our conversation in times past. We're saved. Paul is writing to, and he's writing to believers here in Ephesus. And so he's writing in the past tense. Then he's writing it to you and me, if we know the Lord tonight, in the past tense because of our standing in Christ. Our standing in Christ is that the Lord Jesus has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Him. If you're lost, this is your condition. As you sit in this meeting tonight, the things that we're talking about, this is your condition of heart. Verse 3 is telling us that the way that lost people live, the way that they conduct themselves, the way that they behave themselves, is according to the lust of the flesh. And the goal of life for those who are lost, the goal of life, every moment of every day, is to fulfill, to bring about the desires of the flesh and of the mind. The picture that's painted here is one of total depravity, of total and complete rebellion against God. It's a description of those whose heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and whose desires of their flesh and of their mind, and out of whose heart proceed evil thoughts and adulteries and fornications and murders and thefts and covetousness and wickedness and deceit. Evil eye, blasphemy, pride, all of the things that we find in Mark chapter 7 that are in our heart. We're reading here about those who, knowing the judgment of God, continue to commit these kinds of things. To continue to live a life that is worthy of death. And not only do that, but have pleasure in those things. That's what it means to be a sinner. And this is what makes the first two words of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4 so incredible. But God. In contrast to these first three verses, in contrast to all that we are, but God. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us. Notice these next words. Even when we were dead in sins. And when were we dead in sins? Well, of course, before we were saved. But David tells us in Psalm 51 and verse 5, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." From the moment of conception, we are alive physically, but dead spiritually. But the Lord knew us even before that. And this is what makes these words in Ephesians 2:4, even when we were dead in sins. And those words in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." This is what makes those words so incredible. And we want to see something of the depth of these words. We want to see something tonight of the depth of the love of God for sinners. And to do that, we want to turn back to Psalm 139, if you'll turn there. Psalm 139, we talked about this psalm last Sunday night, and we mentioned it again this morning. But to me, it has incredible ties to Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. Incredible ties to those words, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." Let's read at verse 14 of Psalm 139. "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. There's something in this 16th verse, like we talked about this morning, that how you read the Word of God. You read a particular verse, and you read it, and you've read it, and then you see something that you've never seen before. Notice the words there in verse 16. And in thy book, all my members were written. The words that stood out there are the words, thy book. Thy book. It's interesting to think of the books that God has. It's interesting to think about the books that He is keeping. Of course, He has 66 books of this Word that is forever settled in heaven. We're reading about another of God's books in Psalm 56 and verse 8. We won't turn there, but David said there, thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Are they not in thy book? The indication of that verse is that God keeps two books. One of them is the book of our wanderings. Thou tellest my wanderings. That word tellest is an interesting word. 50 times when we come across it in the Old Testament, it is translated scribe. A scribe is a record keeper. David had wanderings in his life. Up and down the land of Israel trying to escape from King Saul. God recorded those wanderings. I think from time to time about the wanderings in my own life. I think about an 11-year period of wandering from 1976 to 1987. And I wasn't wandering and I wasn't leading my family in this wandering trying to escape from King Saul. I was trying to escape from King Jesus. I was trying to escape from doing the will of God. And when I think about that, the song that comes to mind is that song, Jesus Led Me All the Way. And the second verse of that song says, if God should let me there review the winding paths of earth I knew, it would be proven clear and true. Jesus led me all the way. You can think about the wanderings in your own life. But not only does the Lord have a book of our wanderings, He has a book of our tears. A book of our tears of sorrow. A book of our tears of disappointment. A book that records our tears shed over sick loved ones. Loved ones who we lose, who pass away. Lost loved ones. Children who are living for the world with no care, seemingly, or no thought for the things of the Lord. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16, we read about another book that the Lord is keeping. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name. I believe that every time that we forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, every time we exhort one another, every time we speak often one to another here in this place, I believe a book of remembrance is written before the Lord. With the name of each person that feared the Lord enough to gather here and think upon His name, and to do it so much the more as we see the day approaching. That's why we don't need to keep attendance records. The Lord is writing a book. The Lord is keeping a book of remembrance. By the way, what does our attendance look like in that book? Are there great gaps in the book? You know, there may be great gaps there because of our wandering. Our wandering away from the Lord, wandering in the wilderness, wandering in our own way. Or is our name maybe consistently there in that book of remembrance on Sunday morning, but conspicuously absent on Sunday night and Wednesday night? But what about this book where God has written all of our members before we were ever born? What book is this? I want to suggest a thought to you. I believe it's the book of life. The book of life. Turn back, if you will, to Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. When you come to this chapter, Moses has been on Mount Sinai with the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights. And what he's done there is he's been receiving the law. He's been receiving the two tablets of stone that were the work of God, and the writing on those tablets of stone was written with the finger of God. And you remember that the people of God began to be impatient. And they didn't know what had happened to Moses. And so they come to Aaron and they say to him, Aaron, you need to get up and make us gods. Gods that will go before us, because as for this Moses, we don't know what's happened to him. This man that led us out of the land of Egypt, he's gone. We don't know what's become of him. And so you know the story, how they made a golden calf and Aaron built an altar before it. And the people said, "These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." And Aaron declared a feast unto the Lord. And we're told that the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And the Lord sees that, and he sends Moses down from the mount. He tells them that the people have corrupted themselves. And the Lord's mind is to destroy them, because they are a stiff-necked and a rebellious people. And you remember in this chapter how Moses intercedes for the people of Israel, and the Lord turns away from his wrath. And Moses turns and he goes down from the mountain. And when he hears the music, when he hears the singing that is coming from the camp, and as he gets closer and he sees the dancing that's going on there, he casts the two tables of stone out of his hands and breaks them there on the mount. Now, with that in mind, look at verse 30 of Exodus chapter 32. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, "Ye have sinned a great sin. And now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin." And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, "Oh, this people have sinned a great sin, and it made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written." Moses says, "Blot me out of thy book." His request here is similar to the Apostle Paul, who said he would be willing to be accursed. His heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel was that they might be saved, and he was willing to be accursed from God for that. "Blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written." But notice what the Lord says in verse 33. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book." Here in verse 32 and 33, I believe that we're reading about the book of life. And the indication of verse 33 is that every man's name is written in the book of life. "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. In thy book, all my members were written when as yet there was none of them. This is the book where all our members are written. And they aren't just members with no identification. David said, my members. That's personal and individual and identifiable. The book of life is the register that God keeps of all who have lived and are living and who will live in the future. It's God's record of the names of men. Now here is what is so incredible. Based on what God knows that we are, sinners, people who despise God, people who have no fear of God before our eyes, people who are not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. People who shake their fists in the face of God and say, we will not have this man to reign over us. People who are worthy of death. Here's my question. Why doesn't the Lord record our names at birth? Why doesn't He, when before He forms us in the belly, when He knows us, why doesn't He record our names in a book of death? A book of condemnation. That's where our names ought to be. That's where they deserve to be. And yet He records our names in His book. He records our names in the book of life. Why would He do that? I believe it's because it's the measure of the intensity of His love for sinners. For God so loved the world. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He records our names in the book of life as the measure of the intensity of His desire that all men would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He records our names there because it's a measure of the intensity of His desire that all men should come to the knowledge of the truth. That all men should be saved. That none should perish. But that all should come to repentance. He records our names in the book of life as a measure of the intensity of His desire to go to the cross of Calvary and pay the price for our sins because of the efficacy of His sacrifice that He was going to offer. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2 concerning the Lord Jesus that He made Himself of no reputation. He took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Paul tells us in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Humility, obedience, joy. Words that measure the intensity of the desire of the Lord Jesus to go to the cross and bringing many sons to glory that the captain of their salvation might be made perfect through suffering. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. In thy book, all my members were written when as yet there was none of them. For I know that the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. The only way to have an expected end is to turn to the Lord Jesus from your sin and trust Him and Him alone to be your Savior. And when we do that, our name is preserved in the book of life. Never, never to be blotted out. The Lord Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And may I say, neither shall any man blot them out of my book. Please don't miss how it is that a name is blotted out of the book of life. Look again, if you will, at Exodus chapter 32 and verse 33. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. If you'll turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10, we'll see what the Lord means here when he says, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Hebrews chapter 10. And I want us to look at, and I want us to listen very carefully to these words, beginning in verse 26. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, that he be thought worthy, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. God said in Exodus chapter 32 and verse 33, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. And this is the sin for which he'll blot you out of his book. Sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth. Trodding underfoot the Son of God, counting the blood of the covenant, the cross of Calvary, an unholy thing, doing despite unto the Spirit of grace, who comes to you in love and mercy and convicts you of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And maybe you say, I've never done that. I've never trodden underfoot the Son of God. You do it every time that you reject the message of salvation. And you can continue sinning against the Lord. You can continue rejecting the message of the cross of Calvary. And one day, God will blot you out of His book. He'll blot you out of His book. And you'll stand before Him at the great white throne judgment. And we read in Revelation chapter 20, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. If you're lost tonight, God has brought you here to hear the message of the gospel. I believe if you're alive in this service tonight, your name is still written in the book of life. The question is, won't you humble your heart? Won't you repent of your sin? Won't you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior so that your name will never be blotted out of that book? Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Those are incredible words. Incredible words about the love and the mercy and the grace of God. They're incredible words about the great love wherewith He loved us. Even when we were dead in our sins. Do you know Him tonight? You can trust Him right now, right where you are. Your name will be preserved for all eternity in the book of life. Father, We thank you for your word. We thank you for the incredible depth of these words there in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. What amazing words. What amazing love. That the God of glory would have such an intense desire for us to trust Him to be our Savior. That He would begin our life. He would begin the life of those who deserve to be in the book of death. And yet He puts our name in the book of life. We thank you for the great love wherewith He loved us. And Father, we pray that there are any here tonight who are sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, who are trotting underfoot the Son of God, who are doing despite unto the Spirit of grace. Help them to understand tonight, whosoever sinneth against me, him will I blot out of my book. And we pray tonight that before their name is blotted out of that book, that they would humble their heart and repent of their sin and trust the Lord Jesus Christ to be their Savior. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.